What will be interesting is Vladimir Putin will be there. Some other leaders that are sort of high profile will be there, and you'll see them. But I don't know if necessarily we're going to be talking about the U.S. as much, or the boycott, and certainly some of these other things that are happening around the world.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we preview the Beijing Olympics with Les Carpenter of the Washington Post. As the Beijing Olympics get underway, it's just about 6 months since the delayed Tokyo Games wrapped up. The Games are back in China for the second time since the Summer Olympics in 2008. Several countries, including the U.S., are sending athletes, but not diplomats, to China as part of a partial boycott. Carpenter says there's plenty to look forward to.
Well, obviously, as with all Winter Olympics, figure skating will be very interesting. From an American standpoint, Nathan Chen, who's probably maybe the biggest name American in this Olympics right now, the male figure skater, will probably contend and maybe win a gold medal. He's basically run through 3.5 years of just dominance in the sport, winning almost every event that he's been in. And he just won the national championships easily. So that will be one to watch. On the women's side, really, there's just a group of female Russian skaters who are all just brilliant. That will be certainly the biggest thing, I think, for everyone. Beyond that, you know, some interesting things will be Shaun White, the skateboarding stars, won 3 gold medals for the U.S. Snowboarding, excuse me.
Wrong season.
he once was a skateboarding star, too. But he... this will be his last Olympics. He's made that clear. And whether or not he can win a medal is probably very questionable. I think he believes he can, but age is starting to catch up to him. I would lock, you know, to the women's bobsled. U.S. has 2 very intriguing women who probably are running 1-2 in those in the 2 disciplines that they have. It's now 2-man bobsled and also monobob, which is a new sport. And of course, the other big star for the U.S. is Michaela Schifrin. She's, you know, the slalom skier. I mean, she probably can win a couple gold medals at this Olympics too. And yeah, if you remember, too, her father has passed away. I think it was 2 years ago now. And so that will kind of be a storyline too, sort of following her throughout the Olympics. But those are some of the biggest names that pop to the top of my head right now.
In terms of the overall country medal race, is China the favorite to take the most and the most golds?
No, I mean, China still is not a great Winter Olympic country. In fact, just to kind of talk about another person to watch, I think the most intriguing person in this Olympics is a woman named Eileen Gu. She's 18 years old. She is American. She grew up in the United States. She was born and raised in San Francisco. Her mother is Chinese. Her father's American. And she is the best at a lot of the free ski sports, the freestyle skiing sports, I guess you would call it. She's really good at freestyle, slope style, freestyle, half pipe, also the big air. She could win gold medals in all 3. And what's intriguing is that she's going to compete for China, not the United States. She announced that a couple of years ago, and it's sort of slid under the radar a little bit. It's definitely going to become big at this Olympics. It's huge in China. She's enormous. But she could win kind of the big sort of clump of Chinese gold medals. Maybe that China can win 7 or something. I think the real star of these Olympics in terms of a country will be Russia, Germany, because Germany does so well on the sliding sports. Those are kind of the countries that I would probably watch for the most.
What role is COVID playing in this Olympic Games? We know, obviously, Tokyo was delayed, and then it was effectively done without spectators. What's going to happen this time?
Yeah, it's playing a starring role. China, first of all, is just determined to try to not let the virus come into the country. Now, obviously, Omicron is in China at some level, but China's trying very hard to make sure that this Olympics doesn't become some kind of massive spreader event, much the way Tokyo did. But the restrictions are going to be much, much harsher, I think, in China. There's a very strong, what we call bubble. They call it a closed loop. But essentially, when I fly to China, I'll fly on an Olympics-only plane, as will everyone else who's flying into Beijing. We'll have to go on a plane only filled with people for the Olympics. You will go to a special terminal. You will take special buses. They will go to your hotels. You will never leave your hotels unless you're going to the main media center or the events where you're going. You will never step foot on a sidewalk or a street of Beijing. You will never interact with anybody outside of the loop. And all your hotel workers, your volunteers, obviously the athletes and all the, you know, the officials and everything, everyone will be in that same loop, bubble with you, or closed loop, as they call it. And none of those people will ever leave it until they're done with the Olympics. And so it's going to be very strange. Even Tokyo, there was a lot of freedom that we had inside their bubble. In fact, after 14 days, I was free to walk around the whole country. So it's going to be very different, and it'll be interesting to see. There really won't be spectators either. I don't know if it will be as drastic as Japan, where essentially the stands were mostly empty or completely empty. They have said, well, we're going to let some invited guests in, but we don't know who that is, if that just means it's people inside the bubble, like volunteers or hotel workers who might be off on their shifts. I don't know. But it won't be certainly full stands or anything like that.
Now, as I mentioned, some countries are boycotting the Beijing Games diplomatically, including the U.S., and this is all coming at a very fraught time in international policy, at least from America's point of view, with Russia amassing troops on the border with Ukraine. Is any of that going to factor into the experience of the Olympics for, you know, people who are participating in it or covering it?
That's a good question. I feel like every once in a while at Olympics, this is the kind of sort of, you know, background noise. I think the last time that there was the Olympics in China was when Russia invaded Georgia. And there was a very small but very vocal, passionate Georgian contingent, mostly in sort of wrestling combat sports, but also a beach volleyball team with two women that were imported basically from Brazil with very loose ties to Georgia. And I remember this incredibly passionate beach volleyball game where the Georgian delegation, which it was a very small group, was just like, this was their life and death because they were playing Russia. And so you'll have these little moments in an Olympics, but overall, I don't know. I don't know that the fact that the U.S. isn't sending, you know, a top delegation is necessarily going to matter. It'll come up a bit, maybe at the opening ceremonies, but it's not going to affect the day to day. What will be interesting is Vladimir Putin will be there. Some other leaders that are sort of high profile will be there, and you'll see them. But I don't know if necessarily we're going to be talking about the U.S. as much or the boycott and certainly some of these other things that are happening around the world.
Lastly, talk to me about hockey. Originally, we thought that NHL players would be able to play in the Olympics, but that was scrapped. The U.S. team has added a bunch of college hockey players and some others. So what are your expectations for the Olympic hockey this time?
Yeah, it's going to be a little disappointing for everyone because I think after 2018, when the NHL players didn't play, I think there was certainly the hope that was going to happen this time, and they cut the deal to make it happen back in the fall. But along the way, I think the NHL players sort of looked at some of these restrictions that were coming in. And granted, they were a little stronger back in, say, 2 months ago than necessarily what we're hearing now. Some of the quarantines and things, if you're positive or a close contact, aren't necessarily as extreme as maybe they sounded 2 months ago. But nonetheless, the NHL players said, look, I just don't think we could do this, and they bailed. So, you're left with some college players, some old minor league players, you know, U.S. and Canada, it will have guys like that. You'll have sort of lower tier players from other countries as well. It'll be fine. It'll be hockey, but it won't be the stars that everyone's looking for. And I think that will kind of mute the excitement about it, certainly for people watching back home.
Les Carpenter is covering the Olympics for The Washington Post. Safe travels and enjoy the games. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.